Treasure Lee.
Zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz friend.
That actually did sound like Sim language. I'm concerned about how many hours you might have spent playing Sims.
Me? None. I'm just kidding. I've spent a lot of hours playing Sims.
Yeah, you seem like the type.
I saw something on Tumblr that was like, how come all white boys dress like a randomly generated Sim clothing?
I feel like I dress like a randomly generated Sim clothing. Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we all do. I guess that's just
maybe we're all just random Sim generations.
Or that's just a testament to how amazing Sims is.
Man, we should not go down this dark hole so soon.
Oh, dude, we gotta post your essay.
Again, starting off with a bang here in this phone call. How
welcome, dare everybody. You? No, well, just cause that just reminded me because you said something about Sims in your essay that definitely made me laugh out loud.
Aw. Thank you. Appreciate that.
By the time this episode is up, you guys, so will Annie's essay on loveisasoftballfield.com.
Sure. We'll find out. If it is up, this is going to be an awkward moment. And if it isn't up, you can sense the resistance and it keeps on coming. Well, we can talk offline, but, all right. Are you back in Los Angeles now?
Yeah, I'm back.
Aw, how was your visit to the North?
It was really great, actually. It was a pretty fun one. Have you ever been to Yountville?
Yountville, Napa?
Yeah.
I think I've driven through.
It's like Disneyland for adults. Like, you feel like you're on a movie set. It's just like this perfect little town. It was very, very nice.
Well, that's cute.
And it was like we went like right after it had rained. And so it was just like springtime. There were like butterflies flying around. Like all the flowers were blooming. It was super nice.
Wow. Yeah, my mom's been sending me pictures of Marin and it looks pretty majestic right now.
Yeah. What's it been like in good old NC?
Well, here's something. On Sunday morning, it snowed for 2 hours. And then it was 50 degrees and sunny by 4 p.m.
Weird.
Yep.
I honestly, like, I have no, like, zero idea what the weather is like in North Carolina because it's just not really, like, it's not, like, a publicized area or, like.
Right. Like, it's not Florida.
Yeah, it's not like in any media. Like, there's no show that's like set in North Carolina. So I honestly am a little surprised to hear that it was snowing.
Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear that you're getting what most of your meteorological information from television shows.
Well, I just mean like I don't really know the culture of it. Like, that's kind of like I think of it as southern, and I think of it as like really hot and humid. But
yeah, it's like it's definitely different than like the rest of the South. In the summer, it's pretty darn hot, and humidity is definitely something that comes around in other seasons once in a while, and most certainly in the summer. But it's like it's really mild besides those like the hottest months.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really delightful, actually.
Lovely. Tell me more.
I don't know that talking about the weather is a good sign of where we've come.
I think we've covered everything there is to cover about our sexualities. Uh-huh. And now we can just spend a lot of time on the weather in our various locations.
It's not a bad idea. Without visuals, it should be thrilling. My mother, when I was on the phone with her, said, all of my friends are concerned about you because you said that there was a dark hole in your life where love used to live.
Like in your episode description?
Yeah.
Well, do they actually listen to the fucking podcast or they just read the
description? I think it was from the Instagram, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know that we've got people looking out for you.
Yeah.
I know if I die, you still got some of your mom's friends. Yeah. Will be there for you.
Well, none of them reached out to me personally, but oh, shout out to one of my all-time faves, Bells, for texting me saying, "I just caught up on the podcast. Are you still feeling down? I hope you're feeling better."
Were you like, "Bitch, that was months ago"?
Yeah, it's like, "Where were you?"
I can finally stop crying now that you texted me.
It's been a dark few weeks.
No, that's very sweet. She's a nice lady.
So last week, this week was spring break. Mm-hmm. Yep. Getting my tan on.
Did you do anything college spring breaky?
I did college over spring break. So if by college spring breaky you mean that, I took a class and I was there Monday like a through bonus Friday, class? 9 to 5. No.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. No, I'm not kidding you. Sorry. No, the answer is no. I'm not kidding you.
Yep. No.
Nope.
Why
it was real.
Why did you take that?
Because it was amazing, and I'm very tired right now, but if it was like a standalone class, it would have been totally worth it, so I might as well approach it that way.
Do you get like a credit for it?
Yes, I did. I get half a class.
Oh, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but it was about design and design thinking, and it's like one of those newfangled Stanford type ways of thinking and building things, but we were talking about trying to improve public offering and you know, social programming through this more innovative way of thinking, and government tends not to do that. So it
cool.
was
cool. What'd you guys come up with?
Well, in the abstract, obviously you talk about big programs, but we talked about libraries since we only had a week. So our project was, how can we help the library improve its facility use? And my group came up with a reward system. Zeus, I swear to God.
It's that time. He's like your mom, just trying to sabotage our podcast.
Damn it. So we came up with a reward system and a like personal hub for the library access. It was really fun. Lots of post-it notes and funky thinking and some improv games.
I had a kind of crazy library experience this week.
Oh.
I was leaving yoga and I was walking to my car and I was parked right outside of this public library. Mm-hmm. And, of course I like see this like big dude just sauntering out of the library and he's going at the exact pace that with my amazing mathematical brain, I can tell we are just going to meet exactly right in front of my car.
Okay.
Like it was just like, oh God damn it. And so I kind of like try speeding up and then I'm like, oh no, like I'm still walking right towards this dude and I don't want to talk to him. I just knew, you know, you just have a sense. And so I'm like avoiding eye contact, just like staring at the ground, like trying to walk to my car. And then of course he like just steps into the middle of the sidewalk right as I'm like about to get to my car and he just blocks me, like his whole body like blocks the entire sidewalk and he just like stands there staring at me and I just stop and I'm like looking at him and then he was like, "I'm not very good at yoga," and I just like stared at him and I was like, this is like post me yelling at the airport guy, so I'm like a new person now.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was so long ago, but go on.
I know, but that's like my life is like before airport and after airport, like BA and AA.
Oh, okay. So, AA, good.
So I just like stared at him and I just had all the thoughts go through my mind. Like first one is like, just be polite and be like, oh. Second one is to be like, fuck you, and like go off on him. And then third one was to just do nothing at all. So I just stared at him and I just like didn't say anything. And I just like had like, my face was like the emoji with like the flat line. Like, I just stared at him, and then he just stared at me, and I, like, held eye contact for so long that finally he was just like, ugh, and then he, like, turned around and walked away, and I was like, oh, God, and then I had to, like, step into the street to, like, get in my car, and so then I get in my car, and I'm like, oh, that was so weird, and then I look up, and this dude pulls his pants down and just starts peeing on the library wall,
And the same guy?
Yeah, the same guy. It was, like, the middle of the day in, like, a nice area. And he just, like, pulled his pants down, and I saw his penis and saw him peeing all over this wall. And I was just like, God fucking damn it. What a disgusting thing to do to a library.
To think that he was so close to peeing and you were so close to him.
I know.
Oh, scary circumstances.
What a world. It wasn't scary. It was just weird. And, like, I was so insulted, like, on behalf of the library.
There are books in there, sir.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, who pees on a library? Like, you know, probably the same kind of person who likes to, like, block a whole sidewalk and not let a girl pass. But, yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to deal with that.
So, what are you guys going to do about that?
What am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do about it? Well, you know what, though? This process, we take some iterations. So, first, I got to think about what the real problem is. Is the real problem his peeing on the library, or is the problem that there's not a porta potty next to the library?
Oh, I would say the problem is even deeper. It's like, why are we raising our children to become men who think it's okay to pee on walls?
Hmm. Wow. Or is it there's not a porta potty next to the library? Or
well, there's
is
probably
it that we
a bathroom
don't
in the library.
All just carry around little pee sacks.
That could be the problem.
You know, I wish that that was not my big innovation after my week of innovating.
You really earned that half a credit.
Well, the good news was it was taught by these two, like, super fabulous 30-year-old women who are just kicking ass.
That's cool.
And it was really refreshing compared to kind of the rest of either our curriculum or, you know, life. So it was really cool to have these two people that seemed very relatable. And one of them was more into, like, the politics side of it, but one of them was, like, actually just a designer by training. And she just kind of, because she had been trained in designing, she stepped into public intervention work. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, and so she just kind of used her same art brain to solve problems, and I just thought that was so cool. And I kind of related to it. I related to it a little bit because it was like, I'm a little bit artistic, I guess, but I've always been good at things like math and problem solving.
Right.
So it made me feel a little validated, I guess.
Yeah, that's really cool. I feel like policy needs a lot more creativity.
I think so.
And yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you took that course.
Well, one of the things we learned actually was that the reason why it's so hard, a number of reasons, but one of the reasons it's so hard to adopt this kind of policy making or this kind of brainstorming is because you have to basically cede control in a lot of ways. You really have to humble yourself to both the culture that you're studying and the designers that come up with ideas, and you have to really relinquish a lot of your power to allow every person in your organization the ability to work proactively and offer solutions. So it, you know, disheartening in the sense that it hasn't happened before that for this reason, but heartening in the sense that, is heartening a word, by the way?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, heartening in the sense that people are talking about it and people are starting to kind of incorporate this work.
It's going to be really awesome, like, 20 years from now when our generation is in charge.
I agree. And when I'm in charge, specifically.
But you'll be willing to relinquish your control?
Of course. I retire young. Retreat.
I don't think that's what that means.
Oh. Oh. Well, then I gotta rethink this. Iterate!
you're getting a lot of weird conclusions. P-sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs a P-sack.
They were teaching us how to think outside the box, all right? So my mind is an unrestrained treasure trove of good ideas at the moment that just need to be really honed in.
I was just reading, I feel like I've been really, really positive for weeks and weeks about, like, not getting sucked in, but I was just kind of, like, looking at a bunch of stuff on Facebook today that pissed me off. But I saw that, like, a couple days ago in Georgia, have you heard about this, the adoption bill?
No.
So Georgia just passed one bill. It's not all the way in. It passed one court. It still has more ways to go, but basically it was like this bipartisan bill that they were working on to improve just like adoption overall in the state. And then at the very last second, like 2 hours before it got brought to be voted on, this Republican governor like slipped in some extra wording. And so basically it would allow for adoption agencies to discriminate against same-sex couples, because it basically it like change it basically says like you anything like you have the right to deny adoption based on your agency's mission. So that means that the mission could be like a Christian one, and and these are like it goes for like even they could be private adoption agencies, but they still receive state funding. So basically,
right, state-sponsored discrimination.
Like, yeah, exactly. So people are up in arms about it for sure. And I need to kind of, I haven't really looked into it because I just saw this right before we started podcasting. So I'm not really sure what we can do as citizens, what type of protesting or emailing or whatnot. But I'll definitely post about it if I see like a good petition to sign or something. But yeah, so basically, even some like Republican governors are opposed to it though, because they're worried that it will cause them to lose federal funding because it's blatantly using religious discrimination or using religion to discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes, and I hope it goes fucking nowhere. But that is just, it's so frustrating to have like, to have people who say that like LGBT issues are just behind us, you know, just because same sex is legalized does not mean that discrimination can't still happen.
Right.
And like, as like a gay person who definitely wants to adopt children in my lifetime, it's just like really scary and sad. And like, you know, it's just really disappointing to think that there are people who are trying to make it harder for babies to get adopted, like children who don't have homes, who like need a loving family. Like, you're putting obstacles in the way of these kids getting adopted. Like, it's just so wrong on every level.
Yeah, it's like, how many people will you leave strewn about in your warpath?
Yeah, it's, like, literally at the expense of the most vulnerable people in society. Like, orphaned or children needing homes.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something to think about right there.
Yeah, so it's definitely, like, I mean, it's not passed, it's nothing to freak out about, but it's definitely something to think about, just the fact that, like, you know, we're in LA and we're in all these, like, blue big cities, but, like, LGBTQI plus equality is not untouchable, and, like, you know, there's just, like, so much that could still possibly be threatened, and, like, it's definitely something to, like, stay up to date on and to, like, keep putting pressure on, because that's just unacceptable. Like, there's no reason that, like, me as an individual, that I'm less qualified to be a parent than somebody else. Like, I know that I deserve to be a parent and that I would be an amazing parent, and it's just fucking bullshit that if I lived in a different state, there's a possibility that I could just be discriminated against by, like, public adoption agencies.
Right. Well, it's, and we do live in these big cities, but I feel like the struggles that we have in our own big city worlds, like, we already have these vulnerabilities, and then imagine that you are in a state where, you know, you're really, truly being right. discriminated against, and I would imagine that there's a compounding effect, but depending on where you are and what state you're in, about even just your right. basic livelihood, and that's pretty concerning. And we've talked a little bit about that, but
yeah, I cannot imagine like having grown up or coming out in that kind of environment. Like, it already was tough enough, and like, that is just, how do people have the courage?
But like, it's nice to have a reason to feel validated in my aversion to the South.
Yeah, I've been reading The New Jim Crow, and it has just, like, fucking blown my brain up.
Like, yeah, that's a good read. It's really dense.
It is really dense.
But for anyone who doesn't know, that's Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. It's about mass incarceration and the prison industrial complex in the United States. Yeah, anyone who doesn't believe in racial inequity, and especially in incarceration rates, prepare to have your world shaken.
Well, it's just like, this is a topic that I've been aware of and like interested in for years, like for almost a decade. Like in high school, I remember reading about the prison industrial complex and like mm-hmm. private prisons and the ties to race. And it's something that like I've always known about, but just having it laid out in this book is just blowing my fucking mind. And like, it just, the way that Jim Crow South and like post-slavery South, like antebellum South, has just kind of morphed into today. You can just see this like such a thread that goes all the way through it. Like it's not, that stuff is like not in the past. Like today is just a continuation of all of that. And like a lot of stuff, like a lot of legislation that exists or stuff like this bullshit, this Georgia thing that they're trying to pass, like is just an extension of that same exact thought, just like reworded to be more appropriate for today's context.
Right.
But, like, it's just so crazy how much institutional discrimination there is and like how embedded it is into everything. It's just like, it's just blowing my mind.
And to blow that past just this one race issue, which obviously is a huge issue that needs attention. It's the frequently seen pattern where those in power are allowed to set the standard of what obedience means and what appropriateness looks like, and
totally
allows in many ways legitimizes efforts to stop people from equalizing on their power playing field. So
yeah, totally.
I'm being vague right now, but I'm teaching a class on Tuesday, and I'm teaching the whole class, not just my little section. So I'm teaching 50 or 60 kids. 50. I think 50.
Make sure to promote the podcast at the
of
end.
Course.
I signed it as homework.
I would never forget. I slip into the syllabus. But
extra credit.
We will be reading, there's a reading and a movie. So the reading, and they're both from the same title, but it's How to Survive a Plague, and it's about the 1980s AIDS crisis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so my teacher and friend, Adam, commented, or I guess I had in the beginning of the semester last year been like, we should do a reading on gay people. And he was like, great, you can teach the class on gay people. And I was like, I relate.
You're like, I wrote the book.
Yeah, no, but I absolutely don't relate at all to the gay men's health crisis because,
right.
Well, for so many reasons. I mean, I'm also temporally removed from it. But
but
we had a nice breakfast this morning and talked about what I could teach. And there's a lot in there that's relevant. But it's... Yeah, it's all about how, you know, if you can connect an illness to an action like having sex with another man, you have some sort of power to delegitimize efforts to, like, be seen as a marginalized population.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it's basically you can legitimize discrimination by, like, assigning some sort of moral act to it. So, like, why don't you just stop having sex and, like... you know, assigning an action to their illness was a pretty damaging part of the movement.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like also to bring it back to the new Jim Crow and like also current GOP efforts is like linking crime to race, which is just like a totally backwards.
Right. So how do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Sorry, I got really distracted right as I started talking because there's this little fly buzzing around right by my head.
This is how you break the tension, folks.
I could just feel my sentence just wandering off.
If you could just imagine a fly scramming around you, you can't help but laugh at things like race and crime.
So inappropriate. Yeah, basically just making like a false correlation or like pretending that there's some morally deserving reason why something is happening to a group of people.
Right.
Ignoring like all of the history and discrimination that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Not to mention just the fact that human rights are human rights, no matter if the person is deemed,
right,
you know, morally worthy in your eyes or not.
Yeah, and I think from a social psychological perspective, I think people employ a lot of devices in order to like affirm their biases, you know. So mm-hmm. once you've decided that most criminals are black people, then you're then holding up or, you know, if a black person commits a crime, you've doubled down and you say, there, I told you. And if they don't, you say it's an exception to a rule. So as soon as you've formed that statement or assumption, like there's almost no going back on it, because you either affirm it and you like, you know, make it stronger, or you excuse everything else as an exception.
Right.
So, food for thought. We are in no way qualified to be speaking about issues that are so heavy.
Let's scale it back.
Yeah, yeah. Adam, I don't know if you saw the email I forwarded to you.
No.
He had two comments. One was for you. He said, good job by Maddie telling you to be rock and roll and release your art instead of letting perfection deter you.
Yes.
And then two, because we are struggling with good sources for trans voices.
Mm-hmm.
And he has provided us with some titles.
Amazing. And Adam, suggested
an LSF book club, perhaps.
Oh, fuck mm-hmm. yes.
Yes. So the.
That's a great idea.
He said that he liked, and mind you, this is just a straight white man talking. I'm hoping he hears that like two episodes down the line, and then I have to remember that I said that.
It's okay. The amount of times that you've said, my teacher, I guess he's a friend, my friend teacher, Adam.
He confessed to me today the only reason that we hang out is because he doesn't like anyone else at work. So now I'm a little bit ambivalent about how I understand our friendship.
Friendship? Anyway. Teachership?
Teachership. Yes, it's student, a teachership only. So he said that he liked Thomas Page McBee's book, Man Alive.
Yes, I've heard that's fantastic. It's on my book list.
Oh, well, let's put it on the top of your queue.
Okay, cool. I will. All right.
And then also Laura Jane Grace just wrote Tranny, and she's the lead singer of Against Me. The album is called Gender Dysphoria Blues. It's really wonderful, is what Adam said.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's two titles and an album for anyone who's looking
Tranny by Laura Jane Grace.
Mm-hmm. And then Man Alive by Thomas Page McBee.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Yep.
Thanks for keeping us in check, because we like to talk a lot, but we don't really like to do a lot of work outside of talking.
No. I sit at this desk until you call again.
Just there waiting by the phone.
I have a nice view of the house where I believe a drug dealer lives.
Oh, really?
Well, there's a super fancy Mercedes outside, and these houses are small.
Well, that's a little discriminatory. One of the things I was reading in the new Jim Crow was that there's like this whole code that police can use to pull you over, and it's like driving like a really shitty car, driving a really nice car, like wearing really flashy clothes, wearing really shitty clothes, wearing clothes that look like they're trying to blend in.
That sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, and it was like at airports, it was like deplaning first, deplaning last, deplaning in the middle of the flight, traveling alone, traveling with a companion.
Well, let me just say this to you. You tied this back to the new Jim Crow, not me, because I didn't say that my neighbor was black.
Oh. Is your neighbor black?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I feel like your neighbor is.
Oh, I worth his audio. We'll never know.
Well, let's just remember to take our discrimination caps off.
Oh, maybe, okay.
Maybe your neighbor just has a nice car.
He's probably... You're right. I think I'm just living in jealousy.
You miss your car.
Honestly, the only grounds we have for this is that, like, frequently at 5 a.m. we'll just hear a lot of swear words coming out from our neighbors, and, like, 5 a.m. is early. So these are just these small things, but...
Mm. Oh my god. So Sheck and I have been listening to a lot of early Kidz Bop albums.
Oh.
And they are so funny. Do you remember Kidz Bop?
I do. Well,
I
Yeah, it's like the kids sing the songs.
Yeah. So okay. First of all, I would really like to find someone who actually listened to Kidz Bop as a kid, because I just want to know how you turned out. Because basically it's just like terrible covers of annoying little kids singing popular songs.
Hmm.
And it got like advertised to us all on Nickelodeon or something. Like, but it was really, I remember even as a kid being like, why would I want to listen to like someone sing this Christina Aguilera song, but way worse? So it's like for parents who just don't want their kids to be happy. But we were just like going through this weekend and listening to a bunch of early Kidz Bop, and it is even worse than I remembered. And there's this cover of All the Small Things. That was what reminded me of it, because you just said All the Small Things. But the guy's like, All the Small Things.
Has his voice dropped, or is it like on the verge?
No, I think, well, one of the weird things about Kidz Bop is that I think that they're adults pretending to be kids.
No fucking way.
Yeah, because that's what someone told me. We know someone who, like, did a little bit of, like, a tiny bit of contracted work for them, like, when they were just looking for people to, like, sing on certain things or, like, play instruments. And they're like, yeah, it's super fucking weird. It's, like, a bunch of adults, and then they all get in their room and, like, sing a group chorus, like,
ew, what?
And, like, weird, creepy little voices. Yeah, it's nuts. I just can't believe, like, it's incredible that there are ways to make money that are so ridiculous.
Ew. Well, you know why that would make sense? Because I feel like kid singers and actors have union issues, so like you try really hard not to hire them.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Child labor laws. But
overrated.
I think let the kids work.
Let the kids sing.
Yeah, so check out some Kidz Bop.
All right,
it's gonna blow your mind.
I will write that right under Gender Dysphoria Blues as important albums to look up.
We've got a lot of important assignments for you listeners this week. Why don't you put some Kidz Bop real low, curl up with a good book,
Jesus.
Have a relaxing evening.
That's disgusting. As we watch grown men play pretend and sing as kids, to really taint your experience overall. Oh, I watched Dirty Dancing this weekend, and I watched it twice in 24 hours, because when you rent it on iTunes, you really want to make the most of your experience.
I always do that. Gotta get the bang for your buck.
And I gotta tell you, I think that there is some forward-thinking feminist theory behind the film.
That's cool.
White feminism.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
But it's feminism, nonetheless. You should. You should watch it. I think you'd enjoy it.
What's the deal with it?
Here's the deal. All right. And you can also, I wrote a film review, it's coming out in the New York Times next week. So you can read about it there. Yeah. And I think on Scratch Day. And yes, it is about baby. So it's all about, you know, it's basically about becoming a woman. But instead of being like, she's a woman and the pinnacle of her experience is this romance, like, baby just wants to dance and help people, and she's going to go to the Peace Corps, and her family...
Is it, like, ironic that her name is Baby? Is that part of the, like, feminist...
I think it's part of the thing. I think, like, at one point, Patrick Swayze asks her what her real name is when, you know... And then she becomes a woman, you know? I don't think... It's not really that thinly veiled. It's very thinly veiled. But yes, she has a family that is materialistic and just wants to like wear shoes and stuff, and she is just
they just want to wear shoes.
Yeah, no, nothing else. no, but the opening scene is like the older sister being like, "Oh my god, I only brought 10 pairs of shoes," and baby's just like, "I'm joining the Peace Corps."
Hell yeah, baby.
Yeah, so this is all about her trying to like. Oh, there's also like pro. Well, not pro, but there's stuff about abortions in there. It's, you know, for the 80s or whatever.
That's great.
I would say that there's a lot. Anytime you can get a film that throws in an abortion side story, you know, you've got something revolutionary.
Is it like a positive abortion message or is it abortion shaming?
I would say it's more shaming men who abandon pregnant women.
Okay.
That's cool. Is that like because the guy who knocked her up didn't like come through, she had to go see a hack doctor, and then she got like a serious issue, and then so there was an abortion complication, but in the end she turned out fine. She didn't die.
Botched abortions, that's like the saddest fucking thing ever.
So, yeah, so I'm doing my client report this semester on abortion delivery in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is basically like, if you don't offer good abortions, you're just going to get a lot of botched abortions and people are going to die. And it's just this, all the research is heavy, heavy.
Oh, fuck.
So check out Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Yep.
The only reason I know that is because that's a Fall Out Boy song.
It is? Was it on Kids Bop? Which Kids Bop album was that?
Oh my god, please be a Kids Bop version. Let me look right now.
We're having a small technical difficulty.
And what the fuck is happening?
My fire alarm is going off. All right. We're back.
They did not do a Kids Bop cover of this.
Of Fall Out Boy?
Yeah, of Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner.
They have a song called Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner?
Yeah.
Damn. All right, I'll check it out.
You don't know that song? Oh my god, it's such a good one.
I think I'm too young. My generational differences. So women
like a locket around your throat. I'll weigh you down. I'll watch you choke. Katie Sholick's singing along with me right now. I can hear her. I can hear her already.
My mom was at a fitness ranch last week.
What is that?
She just, you know, you go to a little ranch place and then you work out every day and you do sunrise hikes.
Like fat camp?
No. Well, oh my god, what would she say if she heard you say that?
I don't know. I've just heard that they have these like adult fat camps that are really awesome where you just go and like eat healthy food and go to the spa and work out.
Well, that is what they did.
maybe she went and she didn't know that's what it was.
No, I've actually been to this one before, and I never felt like I was supposed to lose weight. I think it's just, like, more about, you know, mind, body, soul kind of thing.
There's Is fat camp a derogatory term?
I would say that you probably don't want to throw fat camp out there lately.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Wait, we learn about all sorts
this
of biases.
This is our most offensive episode. I feel really bad.
It is, but we've also acknowledged that we are shitty people, and we're learning.
Yeah.
And I am reading a book right now by Lindy West, who's an author based in Seattle, and she writes a lot about, like, fat stigma. So maybe you should educate yourself.
Okay.
I said that.
The only reason I felt empowered to say fat camp was because I had a friend who went to something like that, and she was like, it's fat camp.
If you had a friend, okay.
That. And so I just assumed that it was okay, but maybe it's only okay when she says it.
Listen, one of my best friends. That's okay when I say it because
one of my best friends says fat camp.
I'm good friends with a gay person. Huh.
Wait, what is the book that you said you were reading?
Something is happening right now where my neighbor that I just accused of being a drug dealer's kid is playing in the backyard. And now I need to take back everything I said.
This has been a short 40 minutes about stereotyping people, brought to you by Love is a Softball Field.
Huh. No, well, stereotyping, yeah, I guess based on car, not based on form. In my case, was not about race, but that's okay.
Is the kid cute?
Adorable. He's wearing a green and light green striped shirt and just like rolling around with a soccer ball.
Oh God.
Oh, and now his dad's coming out to play ball with him. Oh my God, shit! I'm a shitty human being.
Sell him drugs. Are they doing drugs?
Yeah, lots of them. No, I was wrong about it all. They're just playing a little soccer, a little kick around.
Aww.
All right, fuck me, am I right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, sirs.
Do you want to talk about your summer dilemma?
Yeah.
You can say no.
Yes, no, I have an internship offer. And
woo!
It is at a company called Out Leadership, and they do, I think what they try to do is, like, basically make the business case for protecting equal rights for gay people and, like, you know, and including LGBT-friendly policies and things like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And?
Oh, I'm so distracted by this father-son kick-around over here. It's nice that he's finally gotten his life together and decided to start playing sports.
Maybe he's using the soccer team to funnel money.
Oh, nice. Or he's trying to distract me.
Yeah. He hired this kid to make him look like a family man.
With his drug money!
Okay, we gotta stop.
No, you're right. I confess that he's probably not a drug dealer.
Okay, so Annie has been really seriously considering getting her PhD, and some counselor. I honestly imagine her to just be like the college counselor in the movie Orange County.
I don't know what that movie is, but go on.
Oh my God, it's like my favorite movie ever. You should watch it. It stands the test of time.
Okay. Like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. And the counselor said that Annie needs to do research this summer if she wants to even have a shred of hope at getting into any PhD programs. So the question is, does she know what she's talking about?
Man, even you recounting that story is making me tear up just a little.
So my very uninformed advice is I think you could get into the PhD program without doing research, but what do I know? I'm just an SAT counselor.
That's true. You're not even in the big leagues yet.
Yeah.
Well, you gave me some sage advice. Like, this is another experience. This is just another way to learn about the world. And I think you mentioned it should be considered an opportunity. And I think I agree. And if it is fun, then, hey, I found a job that will pay me money. And if not, you know, then apply to school again, I guess.
Oh, so you decided then you're going to accept it?
Oh, I'm going to accept it, yep.
Oh, well, okay. I missed that detail.
No, that's okay. I was just silently like wondering whether I should mention that or not. Yeah, so I will be accepting it, and
that's awesome.
Yep, and I'm gonna be in Manhattan, and I'm not sure how I feel about that since I.
That's awesome.
But I hate cities. And I.
Okay, well, if you can remember, my first piece of advice to you was that in terms of your life plan, I think that you are going to have a lot better odds in the dating game when you're in Manhattan working at a gay company with gay people.
That's true.
Than if you were doing research in a lab in Durham.
Which is really what really matters. Because if I'm going to retire by the time I'm 29 and just hang out with my kids, I need prospects.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to force you into a new kind of gender role where you still are a housewife, just not to another woman.
Just not at the mercy of a man.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm sorry. I'm feeling distracted and And I just, you, what you said about using like cars and things like that to for fleece is like now sitting with me, and I'm like, huh, you're right. That was, anyway.
Oh no.
No, that's you. You called out, regardless of whether this is about race or not, trying to like justify why someone owns some material possessions and not others is another form of prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, like, you have like a pretty nice car and you live in the house right next door.
That's true, but I'm also like a spoiled piece of shit. Maybe my neighbor's also a spoiled piece of shit.
Could be.
Wow, you never know what you're gonna learn.
Remember when you described your house as a wooden shit pile?
Yeah, it's still true. But filled with joy.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I did a really hard workout this morning for the first time in months.
Oh.
And it was like, it was crazy. So basically, it's this yoga teacher that I don't normally go to because her classes are really hard. And it's like the hardest level of class that I've ever done before. So it's just the hardest workout I've had since high school. But she started it off with like this back thing, this back opener. So she had us use these blocks, and she was like, it's kind of similar to what I've done in yoga before. It's like the way to start class, but she basically like positions these blocks underneath your back. And then has you just, like, she says, like, melt into them. Like, just let, like, your whole body relax and let all of your weight rest on them. And it's designed to just undo the way that gravity normally acts on your back. So it's, like, putting pressure in all the spots where there's normally pressure in the opposite direction. So it's basically just, like, so, like, the way that your spine naturally curves, it's, like, pushing into it the opposite way.
Mm.
And so then, and then you just have to, like, lie on top of this block. And it's, like, very uncomfortable. Like, it feels like someone is just stepping on you or like kicking you.
Well, that sounds fun.
So it was like so uncomfortable, and then got to the point of like extreme discomfort where I was like, I can't fucking do this. Like, it feels like my back is breaking. I must be doing it wrong. But she was like coaching, she was like this really funny little Irish lady, and she's like, makes you laugh, and she's like, five more breaths, and then you're like, okay, like, I'll just do five more. And then she's like, you thought I meant like five more breaths until the end, like, I meant five more breaths until like the middle of it. And so basically we just spent like a very long time in this extremely uncomfortable position, and then she had us like roll off the blocks, and she's like, okay, like, you might feel broken, but I promise you, you're not. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I think my back broke. Like, I think that I did something wrong. Like, I shouldn't have listened to her. Like, this idiot doesn't know what she's doing. Like, she just broke my back. Like, I couldn't even move. I was like, I'm so worried that I did something wrong. And then she had us like do all this like stretching and like twisting and stuff to warm up our spine. But for like half the class, I was like, oh my God, like, my back is snapped in two. It feels like it broke. And then like something clicked, and then it stopped hurting. And then when I left class and walked to my car today, all of a sudden I just felt like incredible, and my back just feels like the loosest it's ever felt. And I have no back pain for the first time like ever, and my back just feels so, so good. And then my whole body feels good.
Wow. I'm just sorry. The whole time I was imagining this as a New Yorker cartoon. And it's like a bunch of white people doing yoga. And it's like in the absence of other feelings, white people expose themselves to the pain of some back break. You have to work it out. But it was definitely at your expense.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
keep working on it.
Yeah. And if I can really get it, then it's going to be a stinger. It's going to really... really hit you where it hurts.
Okay, well, I really thought you were going to be so amazed when I got to the end and told you that all of a sudden my back feels amazing.
No, I'm into it.
As a feather.
I'm into it.
Like, I can't even believe... I seriously thought she broke my back. It hurts so badly while we were doing it. And now it's like, wow, like, this is how the spine is meant to sit.
This is how... Huh. No, I'm definitely impressed. I'm sorry. Again, this is me being jealous. This is how my negativity comes out.
Yeah.
Man, I suck.
Well, yeah. I think the moral of today is that Annie has a lot she needs to work on.
Yeah. I need a nap is the real take home.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to it.
My nap. All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, Anne.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.